Assalamu alaikum, everybody. We're continuing on. This is our final class, counting up towards Shavuos. And what we're going to continue doing today is continue an analysis, albeit a fresh one, but an analysis of the structure of the Torah's presentation of Sfiras HaOmer, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And we're going to apply it to lessons towards the essence of Shavuos and what and our avodah towards Chag HaShavuos. We had seen previously that the Torah describes two different countings towards Shavuos. We have Parshas Emor and we have Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Emor, what we have is a description, Usfartem Lochem, a description of a sfira that every individual does, Lochem, each one of you, Chazal say, Shete Sfira Lekol Echad Ve'echad, towards the Karban of the Shteya Lechem that's brought on Shavuos. Parshas Re'eh has a different theme. Parshas Re'eh, we saw, says, Shiva Shavuos Tisparlach, you shall count 7 weeks. Here, there's no mention of counting of days. And the conclusion is not the Shtei Alechem, but rather the conclusion is, Va'asisa Chag Shavuos Hashem Elokecha. The conclusion is the Chag of Shavuos. And notice the description of how Shavuos is described. You could have called Shavuos the Yom Tov of Bikurim. You could have described it as the Yom Tov of Shtei Alechem. You could have described it most significantly, according to Chazal, as the Yom Tov of Matan Torah, but it's called the Holiday of Weeks. It's described as the Holiday of the Weeks. That's what it is, the Holiday of the Weeks. Why is it described as the Holiday of Weeks? We almost have two different celebrations. The celebration of the conclusion of 50 days, and then the celebration of the conclusion of Chag Shavuos. So first, before we begin that analysis of the significance of the meaning of the words of Chag Shavuos, the first thing that we're going to do is discuss a fascinating halachic application of this. The halacha has an interesting expression of this dialectic over here. And that this expression comes up with a fascinating position of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi's Shita emerges from the words of the Gemara itself in Menachos Amnaf Samach Vavam and Aleph. The Gemara Menachos tells us, Amar Abaye, mitzvah lemimne yemei, u'mitzvah lemimne shvuah. There's a mitzvah to count days, and there's a mitzvah to count weeks. Rabbeinu Rochem takes the words of the Gemara literally. Mitzvah lemimne yom, mitzvah lemimne shvuah, that there are two mitzvahs. One is to count days, the other is to count weeks. There are actually two mitzvahs of Sfiras HaOmer. With what we've been learning, we now understand a little bit why the Gemara would go so far, Abaye would go so far as to say that there are two mitzvahs. It's hard to imagine, take someone in the street and say, Sfiras HaOmer has two mitzvahs, weeks and days. It's the same thing, it's the same number. What emerges from Parshas Emor and Parshas Re'eh is, no, there are two Parshias. There are really two things that are going on over here. Two entirely different things. Now, the Beis Halevi took this idea so far as to say that even those Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Rucham, who hold that there is only one mitzvah, that the mitzvah is a mitzvah to count both days and weeks, they would agree that there is two kiyumim, there are two fulfillments in the counting of Sfiras HaOmer, one being a fulfillment of weeks and the other days. What we're going to try to understand shortly is what does that halachic formulation mean? But before we get to what that halachic formulation means in Machshava, the Beis Halevi actually applies this in a striking way. The Beis Halevi says that when we get to the 42nd of Sfiras HaOmer, the 42nd day of Sfiras HaOmer, if there's an individual who missed counting a full day, of course, we rule, the halacha is, that if an individual misses a full day, they don't count with the bracha. Says the Beis Halevi, but because there are two kiyumim, one the kiyum of days and the other counting of weeks, if a person misses a full day, he can no longer count on the days that are not at the completion of a week. So 40, 41, they can't count with a bracha, but 42, they can count with a bracha. Why? Because there's a new kiyum. There's a different kiyum of counting of weeks. Where do we see this? We see it in the Gemara. Where did Abaye see it? The answer is he saw it in the Psukim, because we have two parashios. We have the parasha of Emma, we have the parasha of Re'eh. We have two different kiyumim, and Shavuos becomes a counting of weeks, which is independent of the counting of days. Hence, let's go to Parshas Re'eh. Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach Mehachel Chermesh Vakama Tachel Tispar Shiva Shavuos. The counting of weeks, only the mention of weeks, and it concludes Asis Chag Shavuos LaShem Elokecha. Interestingly, in Chutz Laaretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return us to Shul quickly. In Chutz Laaretz, in Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, normally on Pesach and on Sukkot, Parshas Emor is read. But on Shavuos, Parshas Re'eh is read. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that the reason why it's read on Shavuos, particularly Re'eh, is because there's no mention of Chag Shavuos in Parshas Emor. There the mention is only L'kras Shtei Alechem, only towards the Shtei Alechem. The counting of days corresponds to the progression from the Karban Omer Shtei Alechem, and that we elaborated on previously. And now what we have, focusing on Parshas Re'eh, we now have the counting, which we pointed out is a counting that is a unified counting of Klal Yisrael. There isn't the drush of Chazal Shetei Sfira L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad, like we see when it comes to the counting of 50 days. Usfartem Lachem Shetei Sfira L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Here we have one unified counting of all of the Jewish people, which is a counting towards Shavuos, which is called this Shavuos, so important that it's called Chag HaShavuos, the holiday of the Shavuos. And that counting is a separate kiyum of the counting of weeks that's entirely independent than the kiyum of the counting of days. Wow, we're getting somewhere over here. This is fascinating. These Sveidinim already come from Abaye. Omar Abaye, mitzvah l'mimnei yoimi, mitzvah l'mimnei shuei. I want to add tangentially, before we get into the meat and potatoes, the Sfas Emes points out that there's a dissenting view in the Gemara. Ameimar says, in Menachas Samach Vav, Ameimar says, that the halacha is that we count days, not weeks, Zecha the Migdash. So the Sfas Emes points out beautifully, if the counting is no longer real counting, it's only in remembrance of what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, do we have Shavuos like they had in the Beis HaMikdash? Yes! We have all the Kedushas Hayom of Shavuos. What we don't have is the Karban Omer, the opinion of, and the Shtei Alechem. The opinion of Meimar is that since the counting is really, the real Mechayev is the Omer, so then in such a case, when you have a counting that's only Zeich LeMikdash, which counting corresponds to the Omer Shtei Alechem? The Yomim, the days, that's the Omek of Meimar, that Meimar says that you count days and not weeks. Wow, Misameach. This is the machlokis between Abaye and Meimar. And again, this dialectic does not start with the Gemara Menachos, and it doesn't start with the Rishonim, it doesn't start with the Tshuvas Beis Halevi, it starts with the Parshios themselves in Emor and Re'eh. Mamash Misameach. But this begs a broader question. A question that is not halachic in nature. Again, the Chiddush Halacha that we've come out with, that the Beis Halevi said that you could count with a bracha, if you miss a day, when we're talking about days 7, 14, 21, 28, etc. But it also, this begs a broader issue. And that broader issue that we need to discuss is, what's the significance of the fact that Parshas Re'eh focuses on the individual in a very, very specific, detailed way? And it focuses on the singular, the counting of days, versus Parshas Re'eh, which focuses on the counting of a full week. 7, 14, 21. And this has, I think, profound significance in terms of understanding the essence of what Chag Shavuos is about. Because not only is it a different parsha in the Torah, but it becomes the name of the holiday. The name of the holiday, the holiday of weeks. Why that expression? Why the expression of Chavuos? What does that mean? The holiday of weeks. What significance is the holiday of weeks? It's a very funny name for the Yom Tov. To continue to elaborate on this issue, I'd like to ask a few other questions about the essence of Shavuos. How is expressed in Halacha? There's a long Gemara that the Gemara tells us, Hakol Moedim Debat Seres Ba'ina Nami Lachem. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that even though generally we give individuals the option of how to celebrate a Yom Tov, those who are naturally geared towards piety, they're individuals who can express their joy in spiritual ways, Lashem. And also, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, individuals who lean towards an expression in the physical, they can express the Simcha of Yom Tov with food and drink. But the Gemara says, Hakol Moedim, but everybody agrees, Debat Seretz, and when it comes to Shavuos, Ba'ino Nami Lachem, that in such a case, you need Lachem. There, it's not enough to celebrate just spiritually. It needs to be Bilachem. No choice in the matter. Another interesting, unique factor of Shavuos. And we're going to see all of these questions are going to express the relationship between the uniqueness of Sfiras HaOmer and the uniqueness of Shavuos itself. Ramesha Feinstein's Zatzal had a fascinating diuk in the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas, of course, is the passage in the Torah that describes the karbanos of the chagim, of the holidays. If you take a look at the psukim in Perek of Tess, there the Torah, every single holiday describes that there is a seir, there was a goat, chatas l'chaper aleichem, that it was there for a karban, it was to atone for a sin. The karban was for a chatas, that there are sins that we did. Yom Tov itself was a time to atone for averos. Ramosha points out that there's one place that the Torah says seir that doesn't say for a sin, and that's by Shavuos. In Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Lamid, contrasted to three psukim later in regards to the Pesach, there it says seir izim echad lichaper aleichem. It doesn't say chatas or lichatas lechaper aleichem. It just says sir izim echad lechaper aleichem. The question is, what is unique about Shavuos? That there particularly, there's no mention of lechatas. It's just said, it's just described as lechaper aleichem. That's the only thing that's mentioned. Something else that's unique about Shavuos. I think there's a mistake that people make about what Shavuos is about. If you ask most, what is the motif of Shavuos? What is the mitzvahs hayom of Shavuos? What are the mitzvahs that are connected to Shavuos? Most people will answer and say, well, it's the time that we learn. We stay up all night and learn. I think that's erroneous. In fact, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, interestingly, there is no mitzvah that's associated with Shavuos. It's the only holiday that we have that doesn't have its particular theme. Sukkot has the theme of the sukkah that represents God's protection for the Jewish people and the Arba Minim. Rosh Hashanah, of course, has its theme of the shofar. Pesach has its theme of matzah. Shavuos has absolutely no theme. And the theme is not as important as it is, and essential as it is, and we're not going to diminish, God forbid, the centrality of Talmud Torah in Jewish life and the centrality of Talmud Torah in Shavuos. But anybody says that Shavuos is about the time to learn, I think is undermining the essence of Shavuos and is undermining the essence of what learning is. Shavuos is something else, and it's going to profoundly impact what the essence of Talmud Torah is. To understand what the essence of Shavuos is, that it's called Chag HaShavuos, the day that commemorates the weeks, I think we need to go to a very fascinating halachic question. As you see, my passion is to show that Kabbalah and halacha are not two different worlds, that each one of them impacts the other. One of the most important blessings, there are two of the most important blessings that a Jew says. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that there are only two blessings that are biblically mandated as opposed to rabbinically mandated. They are Birchas HaMazon, after we eat, the blessing after we eat, as well as Birchas HaTorah, the bracha that we make before learning Torah. It's interesting that both of them have a uniqueness to them, that if one is not sure if one made the appropriate blessing, we don't apply the rule of Safek Brachos Lekula, that if you're not sure whether you're supposed to make a bracha, you don't make the bracha. No, you do. Because of the rule of Safek Doraisa L'chumra. If there's a Safek Min HaTorah, you have to go L'chumra. So therefore, if you're not sure if you made a bracha on, I see someone drinking coffee right now. If you see, someone makes a bracha before they drink, so then in such a case, if they didn't realize that, and they're not sure if they made a bracha, they won't make a bracha, because Safik brachos lekula. This rule of Safik brachos goes lekula. But Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah not that way. Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah, if you have a Safik, so then in such a case, you're not sure if you made the bracha, you make the bracha again. Why? Because they're Dinei Doraisa. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaroi. Okay, so that's this basic halacha. Now, what happens if you're not sure if you made a Birchas HaMazon? So then you repeat all the benching. Now, the first three brachos, according to some opinions, are Minat Torah. The last bracha, Uvnei Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh, followed by the bracha of Al Yechasreinu, the bracha of Al Yechasreinu is only Durabbanan, and it's rabbinic. Nevertheless, once one makes the first three brachos, one goes on, the poskim say, and says all of those brachos. I mention this as a way of introduction. The halacha by Birchas HaTorah is not this way. The halacha Birchas HaTorah is that there are two brachos that we make. The bracha of Lasok B'divrei Torah and the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu Mikolo Amim. If a person has a safek, whether they're chayiv in Birchas HaTorah, the halacha is they only make the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu. They don't make the bracha of Lasok B'divrei Torah. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Shuvas asks the following question. Rav Moshe asks, wait a second. If the halacha is that once one of the brachos is chayiv min HaTorah, you make all the brachos, like by the case of benching, why is it when it comes to Birchas HaTorah there? This appears in Rav Moshe's Shuvas in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat. Beginning of Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis. Beginning of Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis. Rav Moshe says, why is it that there, when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, if you make the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu, you don't make the bracha of Lasot B'Divrei Torah? Yet, when it comes to benching, once you started benching, you finish. Rav Moshe tells us a very important yesod. Rav Moshe's yesod is, and this we're going to use and see how it applies to Shavuos, Rav Moshe suggests the following, beautifully. Rav Moshe says, there are two components of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah has its expression as being one of the mitzvos of the Torah, one of the 613 mitzvos. It's the most important of the 613 mitzvos. It's Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. But it's a mitzvah. And then as a mitzvah, it gets a bracha as a Birchas HaMitzvah. Every mitzvah gets a rabbinic bracha that is prior to it. However, there's another halacha. That's not the Birchas HaMitzvah of Asher Kidshonu B'mitzvos of Itzivonu La'asok B'divrei Torah. There's something else, an entirely different bracha, separate and distinct. And that is Asher Bochar Bonu Mikolo Amim V'nasan Lanu Es Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to elevate ourselves through His Torah. Baruch Ato Noisein HaTorah. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Bircha Shevach Valda. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving and still giving every moment a call to Lo Yosef. The call of Sinai never stops. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly giving us His Torah. That's never stopping. And that Bechina of Talmud Torah is expressed in, not as a Maisa Mitzvah, but the transformational experience of a human being, that he's entirely transformed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be elevated through His Torah. That's the Bracha of Asher Bachar Banu. Therefore, when it comes to Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah, the bracha of Lasok B'divrei Torah is a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah. The bracha of Asher Bachar Banu is not a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah. The bracha of Asher Bachar Banu is a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's given us the opportunity to transform ourselves through His Torah. It's not a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah, the act of learning, but it's a bracha on the transformative experience of Talmud Torah. Oh, if that's so, we're ready to go back. We're ready to understand the significance of the meaning of Chag Shavuos. We're able to understand why it is that b'Shavuos hakol modim debatzaris b'ina nami lachem. We're able to understand why Shavuos is unique in that it doesn't have any particular mitzvah. The Meshech Chochma writes that when it comes to Shavuos, Shavuos is not a holiday that celebrates Talmud Torah. It's not a holiday that celebrates the cerebral experience of simply hearing Devar Hashem. Shavuos is the celebration of the fact that Torah transforms every single iota of the human experience. Shavuos is not about Talmud Torah per se. Shavuos is about how Torah transforms the entire human. And therefore, I would argue, going back to what we started developing 2 weeks ago, there are two tracks in Sfiras HaOmer. There's the track of Sfiras HaOmer that is the individualistic, singular expression of the personal avoda of every individual in Parshas Emor, where they work to improve themselves and their particular midos, counting from day to day to day. Shitei Sfira lekol echad ve'echad. Each individual has his own and her own process of growth. And then there's another Sfira. A Sfira that is not individualistic. A Sfira that is not connected to any particular mitzvah. A Sfira that culminates with Chag Shavuos. Of course, in Kabbalah, the number that connotates everything in human terms is a Shavua, as a week. The entire universe as we know it is encompassed in a week's time. The day represents singular progress, and the week represents global progress. The count of Parshas Emor is an individual count, Shetei Sfira lekol echad ve'echad. And then there's the global count. The global count that culminates with Chag Shavuos. It culminates with the Chag of Torah that's Kolel Hakol. Histakil Boraisa Ubora Alma. We spoke about 2 weeks ago that even if that one could argue that according to Kabbalah, one would be required never to skip a step in Sfiras HaOmer. But Shavuos has to be all of Klal Yisrael together. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar, Ki Ish Echad B'Leiv Echad. Because Chag Shavuos does not represent the personal, individual growth in its culmination. Rather, it represents Hakol. That Torah is supposed to transform everything, our entire lives. That's why it seems to me Shavuos outside of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have a particular Yom Tov. And that's why I think it's selling Torah short and it's selling Shavuos short if we describe Shavuos as a holiday when we learn. Because Shavuos, of course, everything a Jew is his communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he speaks to God through tefillah and God speaks to him through Torah. And if we ever want to hear God's messages, it's through his Torah. But those messages also transform who we are. Kabbalas HaTorah is not simply the celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and us learning. It's a celebration that even the corporeal parts of the human being can be transformed through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Just like the bracha of Lasso B'divrei Sora is simply a bracha on a Maisa Mitzvah and is not HaMuvchar Sheva Brachos, as the Gemara describes, as Asher Bachar Rabbonu Mikol HaAmim, because there's one thing called the Maisa Mitzvah, and then there's something else that's much more profound than the Maisa Mitzvah. It's the transformative experience of Talmud Torah. I thought, and then I was thrilled to see, that the Zohar advances this idea that Chag Shavuos is the description of Kabbalas HaTorah because Chag Shavuos is Kolel HaKol. A Shavua describes everything. And talking about Shavuos as related to any mitzvah, as profound as it might be, would be selling it short. Kabbalas Torah is a transformation of a Jew from his head to his toe and his entirely transformed identity in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, the Meshech Chachma says, is why we have to indulge on Shavuos material eating as well. That is why even a pious person cannot simply spend all of Shavuos in prayer and in study. Because Shavuos is about transforming the entire human experience. It is the moment in which the Torah, which is the most exalted, which is Dvar Hashem, Histakol Boraisu Bora Alma, is brought down to this world. It's brought down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world to be able, as we've discussed previously, Yarov Kamatar Lichi, to water man's existence, to nurture man's existence wherever they are. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he encounters Har Sinai, when he encounters Har Moriah the first time, is told, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Prior to Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, you have to take your shoes off. Because the land that you're standing on is Admas Kodesh. At that moment, the Torah hasn't been given. There's exalted land, and there's mundane land. Once the Torah is given, Chag Shavuos is a celebration that everything is exalted. Every part of man's existence is exalted if it's seen and studied and understood through the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. How happy I was when I saw Zohar. Listen to the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar asks a very simple question. The Zohar in Parshas Emor, page Tzadi Vav, Amud Aleph, points out, it's a very, very simple question. It's not even typical of a Zohar type of question, because it's a very basic one that we could all ask. The Zohar points out that Pesach and Sukkot are 7 days. 8 days, including Shmini Atzeres. Why is it that Shavuos is not 7 or 8 days? Zok Deheli Gezoyar, Pasak V'Omar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us, Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. Klal Yisrael is Goy Echad, is one nation, Baretz, in the land. That's the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Kivan Deshvacha De Yisrael Asi Lefarsha. When the Torah is talking about the praise of Klal Yisrael, Karun Lo Echad. Klal Yisrael is referred to as unified, as one. In other words, Klal Yisrael reaches its essence when it reaches the Bechina of Echad. Echad means the unification of all of God's world in one transformational message. One message in which God is in everything. Not in a way that's, God forbid, an expression of pantheism, but rather God in everything, that God is, we have the ability to transform everything in God's existence. And the Zohar goes on and describes Klal Yisrael's ability to be ma'ached, we're the only world religion that's tried to imitate us and steal from us, that takes Gashmius and consistently elevates it. Islam had to prohibit wine. Christianity had to prohibit for its kohanim, its priests, sexuality. The essence of Ichud is that the Torah transforms our eating, our sleeping, everything that we are. Continues the Heilig Zayar, Va'al do yoimo dok shiru de menusa, kshura de kol. It's in this day that ties together everything. This day of Shavuos, uksiv eitzchim ilim achazikim ba, ilonuhu di ikri chad. The day of Shavuos can't be split apart into separate and distinct days. It has to be one. Because the counting of Sfiras HaOmer was the counting of all of Klal Yisrael as a unit, the counting of Shavuos, that's Kolel, the entire global world. Shavua represents the everything in the world. Kolel HaKol, towards Torah, which is Kolel HaKol, which is an expression of Ichud, is expression of one, which the Zohar says is the reason why Shavuos is only one day. Shavuos is only one day because it wants to emphasize, the Torah wants to emphasize that the tafkid of Shavuos is not have different themes. On Sukkot, every day has a different carbon. Pesach, there are different themes going on. No. There's one theme. And you know what that theme is? That theme is God sending down to the world a transformational book and tradition that could elevate every single part of our lives. Such a powerful message in terms of what Shavuos is all about. What we're supposed to be thinking, what we're supposed to be doing when going into towards Shavuos. Sometimes people put on a shiur on YU Torah, on Torah Anytime, and they'll put on a shiur to be able to be informed about what the halakha is. Or they'll put on a shiur because now's the time to check in and learn. That is not what Torah in its essence simply is. Torah in its essence is Ichud. Torah in its essence is the way in which we reach up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've spoken about in the past, like the Torah HaEsh, the Torah of the fire that desires to go higher, and the way in which we have the Torah Samayim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu reaches down to us and any place we are. That's what Torah Lishma is all about. Torah Lishma is that we're not simply learning because there's a mitzvah to learn. We're not simply learning because halacha mandates that we're supposed to learn. It's the most important mitzvah, but it is not, that's not its essence. When we focus on that, that's the bracha of lasok b'divrei Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud experience. The experience of Torah l'shma is an experience where we are devoted to the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we want to internalize it because we recognize that every single iota, every single part of it is Dvar Hashem, which transforms and unifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. You know, I always say to my brother, who's a big Talmud Chacham, who is a musmach of the other great yeshiva in the United States of America, there are two titans. One is Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, the other is Beis Medrash Gevoa, Yeshiva of Lakewood. And I always tell him that my responsibility is to tell the beautiful stories of Lakewood to my Talmidim in Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. And I think his responsibility is to tell the beautiful stories of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan to Yeshivas Lakewood. I can only live up to his decision whether to live up to the other end of the bargain. But I always tell the Talmidim a beautiful story about Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal. That when Rav Aaron founded the Yeshiva of Lakewood, he registered Lakewood as a rabbinical college. And he went down to a office in Manhattan with his administrator. Rav Aaron, as many of you know, barely spoke any English. And they walked into the office and they said to the administrator, said to the bureaucrat who was sitting there, he said, "We would like to register our school as a rabbinical college." So the administrator said, "Well, describe what your studies are. Describe what your goals are." And the man, the administrator, one of Rav Aaron Cutler's Talmidim, said, "Well, the role of our college is to train rabbis and teachers." And Rav Aaron grabbed the man by his jacket sleeve, and he said to him in his heavy Lithuanian Yiddish, "Voshokshev, what are you saying?" He didn't understand exactly English. So he said, "Rebbe, zogem az." He tells him what he's saying in Yiddish. So Rav Aaron goes to him, "Nein, zogem az me learned Torah l'shma. Tell the wasp bureaucrat that we learned Torah l'shma." So poor administrator, he's stuck. He's got to give a shiur now. And all of Moshe and I learned Nefesh HaChaim together. He's got to give a whole shiur in Torah l'shma. He's describing the role to, you know. So he says, the holy rabbi wants me to add, the dean wants me to add that, of course, that in order to create effective rabbis and teachers, the way in which it's done is that they should learn with a zest and an understanding of the significance and not just simply to study information and to just simply know the halachas." And Rabbi Aaron grabbed him again. So he tells it to him again in Yiddish. Rabbi Aaron again screams out, "Nein, zogem teira lishma. Tell him Torah l'shma." And this went back and forth a few times. My Talmidim know that I'm fond of telling the story. Whether one is of the hashkafa of the beautiful yeshiva Lakewood, or whether one is of the hashkafa of the beautiful yeshiva, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, at the end of the day, we all agree there's ichud. And what we agree is that the essence of our role in this world is to join together all parts of the human experience through the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, where every part of the way we perceive the world is transformed and elevated through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Shavuos doesn't have a particular mitzvah. Shavuos doesn't have a particular commemoration. Shavuos is called Chag HaShavuos because it is the most global of all of the Yom Tovim. On the one hand, in Parshas Emor, you have the individual growth, every individual. But when it comes to the culmination of it, Kabbalas HaTeres, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, all of Klal Yisrael is one unit. But not simply that Klal Yisrael is one unit, but what it's experiencing is one unit. In other words, Klal Yisrael has to be one unit in order to be Mekabel Teira, which is Chaylel HaKol. It can't be Mekabel Teira as Yechidim. It has to be Mekabel Teira as a unit, because Teira itself is Chaylel HaKol. That's what Chag Shavuos is all about. And that's what the Zohar is teaching us. That's what the Zohar is emphasizing over here. The Zohar is emphasizing that Shavuos is Ichud. You see, after the Shema, we should be Zohar. But it's not just about Klal Yisrael's Achdus, which is so important, particularly in these times. But it's also the recognition that Torah is Ichud HaKol, that Torah itself transforms everything of what we are. And Torah is not about simply going to learn, but Torah is about transforming the whole mahus of what an individual is. May be zocha to a true Kabbalah Satorah. It's been fantastic learning with you. I'm going to open up the mute button now. And if anybody, I saw some Talmidim that I haven't seen in a while. If anybody would like to discuss or shmooze, it'll be my pleasure to do that now. Okay, I'm unmuting everybody. I'm gonna mute all, but anybody who'd like could unmute themselves. Okay. I think you should be able to unmute yourself if you want.
So it's a new rule that came up during this whole, rules now, that anybody can now do IRA contributions the rest of the year. It used to be at age 78, it was over, you couldn't do any more contributions, and now you can do more. So it does give you a tax write-off, but contributed all anything for 2020 to the medical plan.
If you'd like to unmute yourself, that's fantastic. I can stick around for a couple of minutes. Shalom Aleichem, Eli.
Shalom Aleichem, Chaim.
Nice
for all
to see
you.
It's great to be with you. Inachan,
yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. Rosh
Hashanah, Dr. Singer, nice to see you. Ellie, where are you going to be, Shavuos?
In Seoul, Mr. Shen. In Seoul, I have the first night I do. My show never shut down. So let's put that. He's never shut down. So we've minimized the exposure. So first night of it, Shem will be Tikkun Leil Shavuos. So the second night, I try to do B'chavrusa for all night.
Beautiful. Wow, so you're going to try to do 2 minutes in a row?
I have in the past, but Shem this year too.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. How are you, Dr. Singer? How's Noam?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. We're having these drive-bys where we stay in the automobile and we can visit the family. And I sent him your regards. And we had We had a very unique phone conversation where I attached two large drinking plastic cups and the string in between. And it was a distance of 18 feet.
Wow.
And the Inklach loved it. Anyway, Yasher, a tremendous Yasher Kof and for inspiring Shir, and Hashem should give you continued energy together with all the creativity.
Amen. Amen. You too. You continue with that. You're Avodas HaKodesh.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the bracha. But you and Eretz Yisrael are moving at a much different pace than this whole country.
Well, I think this is a piece of encouragement for people to come to Israel. Have you heard my geopolitical read on this?
No. How do I get that share?
You know, the truth is, I was thinking of putting it up as like almost like a podcast. But are you on my? I have a WhatsApp group. Would you like to join that?
Yes, of course, of course.
Okay.
No need for the Rav to ask.
Okay. So I've been thinking of putting it on my group with my Talmidim, but you know what? So if you could send me in an email your number next time, so your WhatsApp number, so I'll put you on it. But it goes as this, like this. It's in a minute's worth of time. Basically, as how should we describe it? From armchair, playing armchair president and prime minister, which is very easy to do. It seems to me that there were Europe and the United States, like in most things in life, people tend to respond reflexively with their challenges. And in the United States, unfortunately, I think there was the initial reaction was too concerned about the economy. And I think that cost lives. And in Europe, the primary concern is liberal values. And therefore, to ask people to restrict their movement, and particularly to restrict people coming in and out of the country, are things that is very antithetical to what European governments preach nowadays. Those two things that they believe, the United States money and in Europe liberal values, obviously is much more to their philosophies as well. But if we would speak about their strengths and their Achilles heels, that's definitely what it is. And Israel doesn't have a problem with either of those two things. I would argue that has to do with Judaic impact. And that is Netanyahu said right off the bat when he closed down the airports and he restricted movement very early on. He said that, I know that this is going to hurt the economy. It was not like the president of the United States who was trying to, you know, wishful thinking to will the economy into a better state. No, this is the way it is. The economy is going to suffer. But he said straight out, but human life comes first. That's our first thing. So I think it's a real kiddush Hashem of what Eretz Yisrael is. Even a secular government, which we have our things that we disagree with, I think it says a lot about Eretz Yisrael. And on a bigger picture, you know, it's another message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's time to come home. It's time to come home.
So I appreciate the Rav's geopolitical perspective, pursuing the geo-spiritual perspective a little more.
There you
more.
Go.
Okay. So there's a beautiful message, which is a daily message. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. I'm so disturbed by I don't know if it's Rabbanim or just whatever internet chatter of the people who are trying to explain why this happened. They are explaining that we have sinned. We need to do tshuva. We need, et cetera, et cetera. To balance that, there are, I feel, are wonderful voices who are saying, this is an opportunity. Look at this opportunity we have. Look at the opportunities, meaning we're not speaking on behalf of why Kadosh Baruch Hu does these things or let this happen, you know, on a baby. I mean, the tragic, my brother is in Renana, thank God he's on Aliyah 13 years, and my nephew, who's even on this year right now, but he's remaining quiet, which is fine. My nephew, who is in Yerushalayim right now, Mitzvah Shem, we'll see how that. But the difference in the way that the country has been handling it, also from in terms of a spiritual perspective, is vast. And to look at it as look at the opportunities we have, I still think is different than saying, let's start fine. This is clearly an indication to us that we should have, or we should be, et cetera, et cetera. It just bothers me. Nobody, we don't have Nevi'im. So I don't want to be talking. I want to hear the Rav's perspective on the geo-spiritual shear that you're going to give.
So I spoke about towards the beginning that I agree with you, but before I say what I said about that question, I emphasized that I don't think you could, or it needs to be emphasized, as you said, that we're not Nevi'im. With that being said, I think there's a way to take lessons and take his orurus without attributing it to sin per se, because unless there's a person who's confident that knows what the sins are, and the in between, and those, I want to suggest that there's a middle path over here. The middle path, I think, I spoke about is if at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us out of shul, has exiled us from shul, then that is an opportunity for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to reassess our relationship with shul. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it that I can't visit my parents, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be telling me that I have to reassess what my relationship with my parents are. So you could say, you could couch it in definitive terms and say, it's because that we didn't treat shul properly, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu exiled us from shul. Or we could do it with much more trepidation, but still come away with the same message. And that is, we don't know, and we don't have the answer to these questions. But every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken away from us for a short period of time, God willing, is an opportunity. You know, as a psychologist, crisis is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to reassess our relationship with it. And it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we needed to reassess that relationship without attributing it to a particular sin. And I think that that might be a way of, on the one hand, not just being, or holding on positive without asking ourselves some difficult questions, because as the Rambam describes, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings challenges to the world, then it requires us to do tshuva. Now, but that doesn't mean that we have the brazenness as Nevi'im to say, I know that it's this sin or I know that it's that. But what we could say is, wait a second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away from us, then that means that there is something that we should be doing to reassess our relationship with that.
I spent a considerable amount of time. One of my roles, aside from couples therapy, is I teach in the Touro Graduate School of Social Work. And so I have future Masters in Social Work students. And one of them lost his mother due to COVID. Not only just his relationship with his mother, because people are thinking, "Ay, Nebuch, what's happening to the elderly?" An even bigger Nebuch, Holocaust survivors are being taken by this Magefa. It's unfathomable. But one of the things that we spent time talking about is, as mental health professionals, I'm not saying I have an answer here. I'm just laying out the questions because I think, the Rav will know that the more important than the answers is the long-term impact of this entire generation processing this at the same time, and that even worse, also, the most catastrophic thing is the loss of the individual, but the trauma that's involved, because the all of the steps for healing that Yahadus gives to us are denied. There's no proper, there's no holding hands with the person as they pass from this world to the next world. There's no being in the room. There's no hespedim. There's no kavadik levaya. There's no krura, standing there where all of the people want to be there. There's no siblings. This, my student who lost his mother, one of six siblings. Everybody's at different locations sitting Shiva by right. themselves and sitting right. Shiva with Zoom. And the last of the zingers, that there's no Kaddish that can be said because of there being no minyanim. Any thoughts that the Rav has just in terms of this generational trauma and how to get and how to search for the chizuk, whatever the message Rav has, I'll transfer right to my students. It's a largely, almost entirely from program, the men's cohort at Turo. And so, you know, they're asking these psychological, religio-psychological questions in terms of, you know, how these are our future clients. Our future clients that will be coming to us, whether it sets their marriages off on their family structure, just the trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder. This, I would say, look around. This is it. This or anybody who had any kind of a loss like that, where the loss is devastating enough, but the denial of the healing steps that Yiddishkeit gives us makes it unfathomable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the first step is not an answer. I think the first step is Vayidom Aron. I think the first step is that we need to process a lot of these very, very heavy things. And there, if you'll notice, what I was speaking about was not the death and destruction. What I was talking about was the inconveniences, or even the spiritual inconveniences. When we're talking about death and destruction, we're talking about a totally different sphere. It's a totally, totally different sphere. And the implication that it has for mourning and so on, the one thought I have is that there is a part of mourning where which is very much alone and singular. The Avel is supposed to be alone. It's almost what happened over here is that there's two parts. The Avel is supposed to be alone. He's not supposed to leave his house. And others are supposed to do a chesed for him and supposed to come close to him. You know, to bring him comfort and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it that the Avel is alone, and he's preventing that Chesed to meet the Avel. But this Bechina, this experience of the Avel being alone, is exactly a Metzora supposed to, Gemara in Moed Katan equate the Metzora experience that's supposed to be alone with the Avel experience alone. And the difference between the Metzora and the Avel is that what happens is that the Avel comes. The Avel's alone, and others are allowed to come to comfort him. He's supposed to be alone. From the Gemara's expression, it seems that the experience of Avel is also a time of tshuva, but from the outside, there's chesed that's allowed to reach him. The Mitzvah chesed is not allowed to reach him. The trauma over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the experience that the Avel to be alone, not allowing the chesed of others to come and reach him. So this whole idea of being broken, that we're so far apart from each other, that the normal forms of chesed are not being accessed, brings us to this broader cheshbon hanefesh of what are we doing that could be better next time around in terms of bringing that chesed. The theological stuff of the pain and tragedy, that I think, no. It goes back to Aaron, but I think certainly even more so in our generation is Vayidom Aaron. And that's why I am uncomfortable by those supposed prophets who claim that they have the answer to the questions.
I appreciate it. Plus, I also, I really appreciate your perspective to reassess. If this is taken away from us, it's an opportunity to reassess.
Exactly.
How is the Rav assessing the situation with schools reopening and the Rav's children and going back to yeshivas? Israel is way in front of us.
So my youngest went back. It's interesting. My oldest is in Yeshiva Gedola. He's learning well at home, and they're telling them to go back. The yeshiva is saying you come back, but you're going to be hermetically sealed. And my son said that's too much for him. He does. It's not a large campus. It's just too much. So he's continuing to learn via the phone. My daughter is studying biochemistry in a college. It's a Haredi college. By the way, whoever, when you hear all of the stereotyping of Haredim in Israel, my daughter is studying in a Haredi college, biochemistry, and it's light years ahead of the undergraduate work that kids in America are doing. And it's done in conjunction. They opened a Haredi division to Hadassah College Hospital. So it's officially part of that program. And she also is doing everything over Zoom. She just took an exam today. She's doing it over Zoom. My youngest was sent off to school today. They opened. And he said to us that it was really difficult. They were all locked in one room. And so we thought we'll go back to learning via Zoom with him. But his Rebbe said, give him one more day. Let him try it one more day. So he said, okay, he'll try one more day. So we're in flux, like the whole world. We're in flux. But that's the, Dr. Singer, that's the crisis is opportunity. That, in other words, it is a tremendous lesson of emunah and bitachon. We fooled ourselves that we were in control. We thought we were in control. Now, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us that we're not in control of our careers. We're not in control of our parnasa. We're not in control of our children's education. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us, and we believe that he's guiding us in the best direction possible.
Does the Rav hold by him? Sorry to monopolize the conversation, but this is a rare opportunity.
This is our last. My family's waiting for me for supper, so this will be the last question. But it's a schuss.
Okay, so the environmentalist perspective. So that would be the enviro spiritual perspective, since we're covering the geopolitical. The same way we know in Yahadus that we have inanimate objects, we have respect for them, right? That we cover the challah for Kiddush. So inanimate objects, we don't want to embarrass. It's a challah. It's not a person. But some of the discussions now in terms of the planet is speaking up and speaking to the mistreatment of the planet. Because now you look at the planet, the pollution is down. Noise pollution, air pollution, every kind of pollution is down. All of the taking advantage of the things that Hashem gave us in this world, all the way back to, the days of creation, etc. Any thought from the Rav in terms of the planet literally speaking up an inanimate object and saying, you haven't treated Mother Earth well. And so now.
Right. I have an ancillary point to that. My ancillary point is, it starts with, as you know, my passion is, it starts with a halachic observation and then to see what implications it has about our lives. There are some people who had suggested that Zoom could serve as a minion. We have six people here, that we have four more people that could serve as a minion. So I thought that was falling into the trap that had led us to the problem of COVID in of itself. Man, in his desire to move faster and faster and to be everywhere, we have friends. We all have friends who will go to China one day for business, then fly to Israel to the Kotel, and then they'll come back to New York for a wedding, and then they'll be back on the way to China again from our business. And that's what brought, that's what spread this pandemic. What spread the pandemic was man's sense that he could be everywhere at once. But what he didn't realize is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world this way, that we can't move so fast so that certain viruses won't be able to spread as quickly. And once upon a time, 100 years ago, or 150 years ago, this virus would not have spread as quickly as it did because man did not travel the way he travels today. And I do think that there is a profound lesson in terms of the fact that man is not supposed to be everywhere all the time, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaMakom, and we are not HaMakom. Only we are limited to our space. So this is a blessing that we're able to speak from 6,000 miles away. But I shouldn't fool myself that I'm in New York and you're in Israel, that we can make a minyan. To make a minyan, we need to be in one space. And man has his particular locale where he's supposed to be. So when man tries to create and to develop more than Mother Earth was originally made to, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to react. It's not simply the earth is reacting, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait a second, this is time to slow down. No question.
Thank you. Thank the Rav so much. How many more Monday Shirim? One or two?
This was it.
What?
But
I thought four Mondays, no?
Let's see. Next Monday is already Memorial Day, right?
Right.
Okay, so I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that this series is ending. The good news is that it happens to be that Rabbi Ram from the Bialystoker Shul asked me to give a Zoom shiur. So maybe I should have told everybody. So if you want, next week on Memorial Day it's going to be on Sunday. Sunday. Yeshivat HaKotel is doing their thing on Monday or on Sunday? I think they're doing it on Monday. So anyhow, once you join, I'll send you the you send me your phone number. I'll put you in and I'll get you the information.
Okay, I'll be happy, and I'll send you regards to Noam, who now will know that because the first what group he told me I get it when I had a phone that was capable of WhatsApp, and that's Reb Meilich B, who he said, well, now that you're a fan of his Abba, you can just call him Reb Meilich. You don't have to say Rabbi Eli Melech Biederman. And I will say to him now, right next to Reb Meilich, my WhatsApp has two things, the Rav Eichelstein and has Rav Meilich. Thank you so much. Sorry to monopolize.
I'm also a Talmud of Rav Biederman, so we're shared Talmudim.
The best. Call two. Thank you so much. Sorry to the family for delaying dinner.
I'll convey it to them. I have to give an apology in advance for Monday and tell you that I'm probably going to repeat some of the themes of this show. So I'm giving you a heads-up warning.
Wonderful. I was a few minutes late. I appreciate that.
Okay, fantastic.
Take care. Call two. All the best.
Call two.
Shalom, I said, take care.